well, will become clear. There's no need to rush because we can't have a cup of tea tonight, so we can twiddle on right through to 7 o'clock, no messing. Only joking. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It's one that's made somebody giggle in the corner here. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end."
Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah.
It says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you," says the Lord. He knows. And he says, those thoughts are thoughts of peace.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that with that man who's depressed, who we're praying for, that he needs peace in his life. And God says, definitely not evil. It says there, not evil. Thoughts of peace, not evil. To give you an expected end.
Yeah.
Not an unexpected one.
Amen.
You hear so many tales of, well, God might come through, well, God might do this. Well, you never know, do you? But if you read the word, we get an expected end.
We do. Amen.
We're blessed.
We are.
We're victorious.
Woo! Amen.
It's an expected end because we're told about it in here.
Amen.
And as parents, it's things we do for our children. We'd never think of doing something evil,
no.
You know, putting drawing pins in Daniel's bed or something, so to watch him as he dives into bed. You know, we'd never think to do that to your child,
no.
And God definitely wouldn't. Well, we had thoughts of certain things, but but you don't. In the end, you want to bless them.
You do.
They can be the biggest pain in the neck, and you still want to do something good for them, to bless them.
Yeah.
Don't we, Daniel? Psalm 115. Just wanted to set where we're going at the moment. Psalm 115 and verse 12. It says, "The Lord hath been mindful of us."
Yeah.
He will bless us.
Amen.
He will bless the house of Israel.
Woo!
He will bless the house of Aaron.
Yeah.
So he's going to bless the priest's house. He's going to bless everyone else.
Yeah.
God is going to bless. It's funny how Grace got on with that. Andrew picked it up. That we're blessed.
Yeah.
And that's what was going through what I was looking at this morning. That we're blessed. And God's not bothered how much we've got and what we've got. And you could have 10 houses, 3 cars, 2 motorbikes and a tractor if you want. God's not bothered what you have. He's just bothered what you do with it.
Amen.
He's bothered how you bless him with it, how you bless others with it.
Yeah.
Because Abraham was blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah.
If we're going to go back to beginning. He was blessed to be a blessing to his family, to all the people, all his employees, because he had lots of them, his army, all the people that depended on him. He was blessed by God to be a blessing to others. God was definitely knew his expected end, I should say, because he knew his God. We're going to jump into the New Testament, Philippians. Philippians 2 and verse 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure."
Yeah.
Grace has said it today. I think Andrew might have even said it. It's come from the front that there's nothing we can do about it. You know, that man that's having chemotherapy, he's put it into God's hands.
Yeah.
And if he could do anything about his the cancer he got, he would have done it by now. And he has by giving it to God.
Amen.
He's finding that he is the answer.
Yeah.
As Grace said, what's the question?
Amen.
He's the answer, what's the question?
Yeah.
For it's God which worketh in both in you to both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's not just a pleasure, it's a good pleasure he wants to do in us. God's working on something. Could read me writing it to me, alright? Hallelujah. God tests us because we're blessed.
Amen.
He might ask us to give everything we've got. He might ask us to give everything back.
Yeah.
He asked Abraham to give everything he got. The most precious thing he had, he asked him to give it him back. And it was to test him, to see whether he actually would. And then he gave it him back. And it was more precious when he got it back than when he had it before.
Yeah.
And it's not just a matter of giving and receiving in this blessing. It's not just a matter of giving and receiving. Let's have a look in Romans 8. This can be used as a bit of a cop-out verse 28 in chapter 8, if things don't work out. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And sometimes it's used as a bit of a cop-out verse. Well, all things work together, so it must be going to work out somewhere or other. And that's as far as people know. But if you really know God and you really know the word, you'll know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And we know all things work together for good.
Yeah.
Because God's good. An expected end.
Yeah.
He's not going to sneak up on you and do something. At times we have to stand.
Yeah.
Life's full of challenges. It's amazing how God says, I will change, I'll reverse whatever's against you, and I'll change it for good.
Yeah.
I'll change it for good, and I'll fit it into my plan, he says, for you.
Yeah.
So we all should be working on God's plan, and all that's happening to us should be fitting back into that plan. Doesn't matter what's thrown in our way, that God can use that and turn it and fit it back into his plan for you, for us.
Yeah.
And we've had, over the last 2 years, we've had lots of things thrown at each one of us. And they've turned round, they've turned out, they've fitted in. They've fitted like jigsaw pieces. And you can't see where that piece is, but God says, well, I know where that is. I know where that's going to fit. You might think it's a rogue piece, it's an extra piece that somebody's, or they've given you a piece from another jigsaw, but no, I know where it's going to fit that.
Amen.
We've just got to trust, because we don't know why, we don't know, but we know that he does. Paul said, through tribulation we enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Through tribulation through trials. It perfects us, Joe. How are you going to make tea today without tea bags? Now there's a conundrum. See, there's always an answer. But at times we start looking, oh, how can we do that? How can we, you know, we see the locked door, we can't get in, and we can't see anything. Can't see anything around it, can we? Just a lock. It'd do you good not to have a glass of water instead. Detox. Daniel's into this now, aren't you, Daniel? No? Oh. But we could say when these tribulations, these problems come upon us, oh, why? And we've all said that, and I know I've said that recently. Why me again? Why us? We were coming down the motorway today, and as this got to 60 miles an hour, this noise, flappy noise, like it went deathly quiet in the car. We're all listening for this noise. We got there, couldn't see anything. We must have picked a bag up or something. You know, it was a bit like, what's that noise? Is it going to be something going to fall off? It could have been angel's wings, that's right. But we always think the negative, don't we? If we hear a noise, we think, oh, something's broken. We always look on the negative side of it. Or we could say, well, you've got a plan, God, and this problem's going to fit into this somewhere. So we could look at it both ways. Oh, we should say, we've got to look at it one of the ways, and we're better looking at it the second way.
Yeah.
And saying, God, you've got a plan. I don't know how you're going to turn this round, but I know that you're going to fit it into your plan for me or for you.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny as we came in today, and Grace is saying, oh, we can't get in the cupboard, and then we're having to improvise, and I thought, well, that's fitting in with what God's saying. You know, just rely on me, just trust in me, just rely. I've got a plan. I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working behind the scenes.
Amen.
He's working behind the scenes for each one of us right at this time to work something out that we've asked for.
Yeah.
Like when Grace asked, you know, I'd really like to be back in that office. He had to go and do something. Or he had to dispatch someone off to go and have a word with that lady, you know, saying, well, she's really nice, Grace, you know. Clear off and get into that little. But there was something happening in the background. It didn't just happen. Andrew wants some jobs doing his unit, and they won't just happen unless somebody goes and does them, gets the toolbox out and gets enough energy together to go and do it. But there's an idea. Andrew's got the idea, but then there's the work in the background.
Yeah.
And then other people throw spanners in the works, don't they? Revising plans. He did. Yeah, it's a good idea he had, but he just had it too late. We could use this for ourselves, something that was said of Jesus when he was on the cross, and it was that if Satan had known what the crucifixion was going to produce, he would never have done it to the King of Glory. And we could say, if Satan had known what was going to come out of the situation that we've been put into, and we know it's going to come out for good, we don't know how or why or when. That's the patience bit, the when.
Yeah.
But it would never have put us into that, because we're going to come out with a plus.
Yeah. Amen.
Because later on I've got some examples of people who came out of a situation in the Bible, and they came out promoted, they came out with more money, more authority, higher position. And in the Amplified, Romans 8:28, I should have read this one really, it says, God being a partner in their labour. God's a partner with us. Should have read that really.
Yeah.
He's a partner. He's not just saying, well, come on, you go on, I'll just sit here and watch you. He's with us. He's a partner going along with it. Senior partner, oh, that's right, yeah, senior partner. Yeah, he takes all the executive decisions.
He does.
Yeah. We're just following along, tagging along at the back. In the passenger seat, as we should be.
Yeah.
Let him do the driving.
Yeah.
Failure in defeat is not the end.
Amen.
I can say that quite glibly, you know, but a few months ago I thought it was, you know, it was, well, how are you going to get us out of this one, God? And at the moment, I just, well, God, you'll sort it. You, it's yours. I'll sit back, I'll enjoy my holiday, and you sort it out and let me know when you've got there, and I'll tag along. I'm glad to know it all of this starts. I've got this paintbrush syndrome at the moment. But defeat and failure is not the end. Let's have a look in 2 Corinthians 4. My pencil's going a bit blunt at this point. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. It says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So things that happen to us that we can see are temporal, temporary. They're not permanent. They're not stopping our lives forever.
Yeah.
It's just passing through. It's a temporary thing. Yeah. It says that things that we can't see, that happen in the background, that God's in charge of, are eternal. They'll last forever.
Yeah.
Temporal, not permanent, brief, fleeting. There's some meanings of it. It's not stopping long. At all. And in 2 Corinthians 2, let's go back a bit. This is what it says as well. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Saviour of his knowledge by us in every place. Now give thanks to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ.
Yeah.
It's going to cause us always to triumph. So if there's a situation that you've got that you haven't triumphed in yet, you haven't jumped up and down and danced around, well, that's the dancing, jumped up and down, he's still working on it.
He's
still working on me dancing. It's just an ongoing, long, drawn out. I might have something to do with that, actually. He always causes us to triumph.
Always.
He does. It's true.
Yeah.
Glad you're agreeing in the corner. Little magazine I was looking at, an article in a magazine I was looking at, a Christian one, and it was somebody had been looking into fear nots. Fear nots. And the fear not, written within whatever, it's mentioned 365 times in the Bible. So it's not going on a leap year, but normally there's one for every day.
Amen.
Evidently, it's a big thing in our lives.
Yeah.
God knows it's going to be a big thing that we have to be reminded of. Fear not.
Yeah.
Fear not. And just to give you an example, we'll look in Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, starting in verse 1. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formeth thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And then it goes on to say what he's going to do. Fear not, don't worry about it. It's all sorted, and this is what I'm going to do. Fear not, I'm going to come out victorious. So, Psalm 41 and verse 11. He says, by this I know that thou favourest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. Sorry, Isaiah 41, verse 11. It was 43 before, sorry. It's my wife confusing me. God favours us because our enemies don't triumph over us. They might look as though they are. They might for a while, actually. It might that way. Andrew had a situation earlier this year. It looked like his enemy was triumphing over him. But God intervened. God was there all the time. God just said, wait. Wait, be patient. Patient. It's funny how many times patience came up this week.
Yeah.
I should say, after being talked about.
Yeah.
You know, Luke said something. Oh, this needs to happen. Oh, I said, patience. And then something else happened, and Zena said, patience to somebody else. Like, it just kept coming up. This patience. Job 20. So all the time God's fitting all this into his plan, his perfect plan for us. That's right, it's not just a plan, it's a perfect plan. And this is what Job has to say on the situation. Job 20 and verse 5, it says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. So it may look as though they have their moment.
Yeah.
They can have their moment.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. They can have the moment. They can have the short little triumph if they want. But in the end, God will come through. And as we know with Job, God did come through. And God blessed him twice as much as he had in the first place. He just hung in there. Now here's a book we don't often go into. Micah. Micah 7. Basically Job was saying, just don't count God out. He got some people around him who thought they were helping him, thought they were giving him some good advice. But again, it is something else we're looking at today. It's not being distracted. Micah 7 and 7. But as for me, I will look to the Lord, and confident in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectancy for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. All positives. My God will hear me.
Yeah.
I look to the Lord, and confident in him I will keep watch.
Yeah.
So they've been vigilant as well.
Yeah.
So while God's doing something, God's working on something on our behalf, we need to be working as well. We need to be vigilant. We need to be trusting in him and keeping watch. Keeping watch for those little foxes that slide up. Because we're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
What have we got to lose?
Nothing.
By not trusting in God?
Nothing.
If, like I said earlier, if we could have done anything about the situation we were in, we'd have done it, but we can't. But we've everything to gain.
Yeah.
Here's some examples. People who God didn't arrange for Joseph to be put into slavery. He didn't arrange for Daniel to be put into the lions. And he didn't arrange for the three Hebrews to be thrown in the furnace. But he did have everything to do with them bringing them out.
Yeah.
And when they were brought out, they all got promotion.
Yeah.
Joseph became second in charge. Second in command of Egypt. Daniel, he got greater responsibility over a bigger area. So did the three Hebrews. They all got promotion. So would Satan have arranged all that if he'd have known what was going to happen? No. And we can claim it for our lives. If it happened in the Old Testament for them, and we're going through something that we've not got to the end of, we haven't triumphed yet,
yeah,
we're going to come out, we're going to get promoted.
We are. Amen.
Promoted.
Amen.
Moved up.
Ooh.
But you do get more responsibility. But then again, we should just throw it back on God. We know where it has to go.
Amen.
Paul in prison, locked up in prison. What did he do? He turned it into a pulpit, didn't he? His prison cell. He had them all saved.
Yeah.
He had them all going out. All ministers when they left. He didn't waste anything because he was blessed.
Mm.
And he knew his God. He knew his God would come through, even in a situation like that, locked in, can't go anywhere. Oh well, we might as well make the most of it then.
Yeah.
So God was fitting all the negatives into his plan for Paul, for Joseph, for Daniel, and he'll do it for us.
He will.
Whatever situation we're going through, he'll turn it around, he'll use it for good.
He will.
Even if we've blundered into it ourselves,
yeah,
which we normally do, that we've just got to say, God, we've wandered in, we've done it again.
Yeah.
No problem. James 1. James 1. Verses 2-4. He says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations.
Yeah.
Be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play, and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects,
yeah,
lacking in nothing.
Wow.
Mm.
No defects.
Lacking in nothing. That's from the Amplified Version.
Amen.
No defects. That's what God's looking on. God doesn't see. He didn't see us when we were first brought into the kingdom. He sees the finished version. He sees that finished version. God wants to turn a test into a testimony.
Amen.
So that we can stand here and say, and Jones, stand there and she can testify what God's done in her daughter's life. Yeah. And we know how much she's done already in her daughter's life. And others as well, that we can stand and we can turn that test into praise for God, into a testimony. Philippians 1. Philippians 1 and verse 12. It says, But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's what Paul's saying. That's what we said earlier. He used every avenue, he used every opening he could. On boats, on in prisons, on wherever he was, he used everyone to further the kingdom. He just said, well, God, you've put me here, you must have put me here for a reason, let's use it and let's further the kingdom.
Amen.
And Satan thought he was going to shut Paul up. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. It says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he's not saying go around looking for all these things. It's just saying if you're in a situation, just know your God.
Yeah.
Know that, okay, I can't cope with this, God, but you can.
Yeah.
So I'm throwing it all unto you.
Amen.
That when I am weak,
yeah,
then he's strong.
Yeah.
Strength in Christ.
Yeah.
It may be the most challenging year yet you've had.
Yeah.
Or season in a year. Yet God is just using this to fulfill his plan for you.
Yeah.
So just hang in there.
Yeah.
Patience. The word. That in the end, you will have the expected end.
Yeah.
You'll know what's coming. Because you'll know your God, you'll know the word. It'll not be a surprise. Although you do get, it's nice to get surprises. But nice surprises.
Yeah.
But we should know the expected end that's coming.
A good one.